first time I presided at the table for Holy Communion, I was absolutely terrified. I was a new student at Duke Divinity School in North Carolina, and I had an appointment, a charge there. When I started out in ministry, I had a three-point charge. I had three churches at the same time. After a half a year, they added another church. It was a four-point charge, and I would preach at 8, 9, 10, and 11 o'clock. I'm going to tell you, either I loved my sermon or I hated it by the time I was done, and it almost never survived the entire morning unchanged. But that very first time, the first time that I had to preside at Holy Communion as the appointed pastor, I was absolutely terrified. I knew I had no business standing at the table. I knew I had no business standing behind the table. I knew I had no business raising my hands to pray. I had no business, and I knew it. I was unworthy, and I was terrified. I felt my knees knocking. I was trembling. My hands were shaking. I was afraid to be in the midst of this holy moment when I knew that I didn't merit being there. And I remember praying the prayer, going, stumbling through the Great Thanksgiving. It was 1989. The hymnal was fairly new to us still, and the order of worship was not very different, but I didn't know it very well. So I made mistake after mistake after mistake, after which I said, I'll commit this to memory, and that will help. But I was still afraid. I inverted the order of the bread in the cup. I made a real boo-boo. Why? Because I knew how important this was, how critical it was to partake of the sacrament, how powerful it could be, how life-transforming and life-changing it could be to stand and to receive, or to kneel and put out your hands and receive, to be touched inwardly by the grace and peace of God, to be fed spiritually by the real presence of Christ. It was truly a life-changing moment for me. I had come to the table many times in college and before, when I was a kid growing up at first a Methodist church, then an Episcopal church. Receiving communion was familiar to me and a holy moment to me. But this moment, standing behind the table, was truly life-transforming to me. For in the process of praying the prayer and offering the bread and the cup, I came to know that I brought very little to the table, very little to the worship. I brought myself and my dim understanding, and God's grace multiplied my dim understanding, multiplied my meager offering, and made it far beyond anything I could have ever imagined. And that's what we have here today in the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is there, he's preaching, he's teaching. The people, they're away from a town, they're not near where they could get food, they're not near home. And the disciples want to send the people away so they could eat. Jesus says they don't have to go away. They can stay here. You give them something to eat. All we have is just a few loaves and fish, they said. Five loaves, two fish, almost not enough for the 12. How can we feed 5,000? With such a meager supply? And Jesus says, bring it to me. And he takes the bread, And he prays over the bread, that prayer that was common amongst the Hebrew people, the prayer of the blessing of the bread of the earth. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, ha'motze lechem min ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives us bread from the earth. When it says that Jesus takes and blesses and breaks the bread, that's the prayer he's praying. A prayer that is common amongst our Jewish siblings today. A prayer of blessing for the gift of the good earth's bread. He takes and he blesses and he breaks the bread. And it says that he gives it and the fish also to the disciples, blessed and broken and distributed to the people. And this meager supply, 5 loaves, 2 fish, this meager supply, not enough to feed 5,000, almost not enough to feed 12, this meager supply is in a sense beyond our comprehension, multiplied to feed thousands, and so much more, in fact, that when they took up all the leftovers, it filled 12 baskets full. A powerful metaphor for how we bring our little bit and God multiplies it beyond the need. We bring our little meager supply. And God, in God's grace, in God's mercy, in God's presence, in God's love, multiplies it beyond anything that we could have ever asked or imagined to feed not only us, but a broken and hurting world. Beginning in 2001, I began an online element of my ministry. I have an online website. I was one of the first United Methodist pastors to upload audio sermons to the internet in old reel player format way back in 2000. In 2001, I added a new aspect to my online ministry. I said, if we can communicate God's grace through preaching and prayer online, why not communion? And so I prepared an online section on my website to help people, to teach people how to partake of Holy Communion at a distance. They at home, us in worship, they would watch, they would have bread and grape juice and wine on their side of the internet, we'd have it on our side, and when the elements were consecrated on the altar in worship, they would be consecrated for everyone who was watching and participating online. Now, my friends, this was really out there. So much so that I got a lot of negative fire. So much so that after 10 years of debate online amongst Methodists and theologians across the country and, in fact, across the world, the Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church held a special consultation on utilization of the internet for Holy Communion. And I, as one of the participants in it, was invited to go to Nashville and to participate in the online communion consultation. And the opposition to the idea of communion at a distance was clear. In fact, so much so that the Council of Bishops passed a rule that you could not do it. Well, roll the time meter now forward from 2013 to 2020. And we all remember what happened. Our churches had to close. We had to go to online broadcast because of course, the COVID-19 pandemic. And communion at a distance suddenly became optional, an option for us. In some conferences where the bishop authorized it, that was true in the conference I was serving in at the time. I was called upon to write an article about it, to give direction on how to do it, because the necessity, the need was there to commune people safely at a distance. We would bring our meager supply in our homes, and God would bless it and multiply it far beyond our expectation. And that's still true today, now that we're regathered, although some are watching online. It's still true. We bring our meager supply, what we have. And sometimes when I come to church on Sunday morning, I'm tired. I mean, come on, I joke about this all the time. But remember, it was a Last Supper, not a prayer breakfast. And we do communion in the morning? Yeah. We do it when we gather to participate in God's grace and love. And sometimes I come to church and I'm tired. But then we enter into worship. We sing hymns. We pray prayers. We fellowship together. We proclaim the word. And we partake of the sacrament. And I am reconnected, remembered to the amazing grace and the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And no, I am not worthy to stand and preside at Holy Communion. But we are all made worthy by the love of God in Jesus, by the love of God communicated to us. We are made worthy to partake, to receive, and to give this beautiful sacrament of God's love, of Christ's presence for us. So I invite you to come today to bring your meager supply of yourself, to come and receive this special gift, this mysterious presence of Christ, this reminder of the love of God, this embodiment in bread and juice of the love of God feeding us. And be filled with all the grace and love of God. Be fed with all the grace and love of God. Be touched by all the grace and love of God. And then reach out and touch and bless and feed through word and deed, all those who are hungering and thirsting for the good news of the love of God that knows no limit, that knows no boundary, that welcomes and accepts all into God's embrace. Receive and share. Give as you have been given the grace and peace, the nourishment of God's love, God's presence, God's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Glory, 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 glory
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from captivity to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If those who are assisting would come forward at this time. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread and in the blessing of the cup. We know the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me dwell your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word. By your grace upon